For a fascinating political and economic experiment, keep your eyes on Italy today. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Italy's ruling coalition, made up of the left-wing five-star movement and the right-wing league, want two opposite things. The right-wing wants lower taxes. The left-wing wants to pay Italy's poorest citizens a universal income. A tough job for Italy's finance minister as he unveils a budget today. Let's hear more from Federico Santi, Europe analyst for the Eurasia Group.
The finance minister's very difficult job is to reconcile these political pressure and demands for an increase in public spending and in the deficit with fairly stringent European rules, which are actually designed to keep countries' deficits in check and to help reduce Italy's huge public debt and, more importantly, avoid undermining investors' confidence. And investors have been very focused on the trajectory of fiscal policy and, in particular, the deficit number, which will be published today to gauge whether or not the government's agenda could actually undermine that sustainability and potentially derail the fragile economic recovery in the country.
The big question, Federico, is how they're going to pay for this, because Italy has the highest debt to GDP ratio in Europe after Greece, and it's also been growing very slowly.
Yeah, exactly. Italy has long been seen as something of a weak link in the Eurozone. And also economic conditions externally are now becoming less supportive. So this is not a particularly opportune time for the government to want to increase the deficit. How are we going to pay for it? I think that's going to be very difficult. In fact, my sense is that eventually the government is going to have to back down and significantly reduce the scale of its tax and spending ambitions in the face of what's going to be, I think, very significant pressure from financial markets and the EU. The question is, how much damage can this do to the already weak Italian economy in the process?
Yeah, that's really it, isn't it? Because also poverty has been growing in Italy. And so that political pressure is really going to stay quite high.
Yes, exactly. And, nobody is arguing that the Italian economy doesn't need very deep reforms, but they need to be undertaken in a way that's sustainable from the standpoint of public finances.
Federico Santi there. Goldman Sachs is increasing its presence in Europe. As of today, UK customers get a chance to open an account with them. The BBC's Faria Massoud has more.
Goldman Sachs will be debuting its retail banking in the UK with hopes to expand further into Europe. It's hoping to impress customers by offering the best interest rate on the market for savers, 1.5%. Goldman has an annual turnover of $32 billion and is best known for being one of the world's biggest names in investment banking. Its retail bank, called Marcus, will have a larger presence online rather than physical branches. Analysts have told me why Goldman chose the UK. It's got a big banking system, plenty of liquidity, a stable currency, and shares similarities in culture and regulation. Returns from investment banking have also stagnated recently. One expert said that a move into the retail banking sector is to help profitability. Goldman's already has staff and a presence in London's financial district, and the firm has already been beta testing its retail banking in the UK for some time, offering relatives of Goldman Sachs staff the chance to open an account.
Faria Massoud there. Let's do the numbers. Most Asian stocks fell as investors considered the prospect of more U.S. interest rate hikes and Donald Trump's trade war with China rumbling on. The Nikkei and Hang Seng both closed just under 1% lower. European stocks are trading flat, dampened by investor jitters over Italy's upcoming budget reveal being delayed. As old trading relationships break up, how do you attract more investment? The BBC's Jonathan Josephs reports on a new British initiative.
Starting the engine to an electric truck. The company who make it, Teva Motors, began its journey in Israel but could now offer Britain a route to boosting foreign trade after Brexit. It's already brought more than 40 jobs and £20 million of investment to the UK.
It's the technology that was developed in Israel, and it allows the vehicle to travel 100 miles a day. It's about 160 kilometres without any emissions from the exhaust. And that's why some of the world's biggest delivery firms, such as UPS, were amongst the first to place orders for this technology.
The man behind the wheel, Teva's founder, Asher Bennett, told me why he moved his company 3,500 miles around the world.
As an entrepreneur, where you decide to do business, it's about investors, access to great team members, great engineers, and a great market to start and trial your product.
Asha's company was one of the first to benefit from the UK-Israel Tech Hub. It's an initiative of the British Embassy in Tel Aviv, which helped to get his business motoring along in the UK. In the year after the Brexit vote, there was a 33% growth in Israeli investment in the UK. And so, the British government is replicating the model in Brazil, India and South Africa. Hugo Bieber is the chief executive of UK-Israel Business.
I think that the model can certainly be adapted, and it definitely is a new form of diplomacy that the UK needs in a post-Brexit environment.
Back at the electric truck company, engines are being installed. But there's limited concern that Brexit will interrupt the UK's economic journey. Others fear it will cause widespread disruption, particularly to foreign trade. But the UK government thinks technology will be key to the road ahead.
Jonathan Joseph's reporting there. Finally, if you met your spouse at work like me, consider this. A study from Direct Line Life Insurance found more than three quarters of HR professionals say campaigns against sexual harassment in the workplace have made relationships between colleagues less acceptable. Flip side of the coin, it's hopefully made people safer at work too. Remember, grab your podcast where you get yours. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.